Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf, ayin vav.
Whoa.
Today's daf is being studied Ashdema Norman Silverstein Ben Mary. Enna refanalo betoch she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Leilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Ayin He Amud Bet. And we start 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel. Asara batim ze lefnim mizeh. We have a situation in a chatzir of 10 houses, one behind the other. If you look in your picture books, you'd find it. I'll give you the number. That would be number, what is that? 243. Okay, 243 is correct. Basically what you see is you have a chatzir, you have houses in the chatzir, and you have 10 houses behind each other in the chatzir. So the question is, which house out of these rows, the row of houses, which house has to partake in the Eruv? So the Gemara says the following. Pinimi noten et Erubo vedayo. Which means, according to the first Shita, only the most inner house of the 10 houses has to place the Eruv, and with the other 2 houses that are in the Hatzed itself, and the other 9 houses are not considered residents. The explanation is going to be that this last house uses these other 9 houses to walk across into the chasid. So these do not have a status of dwellings. The Gemara is going to call it a bet shar. That's like the the gate, like a hallway. We look at it as these person is the only one that's really considered a dweller. Rabbi Yohanan Amar Afilu Chitzon. So Rabbi Yohanan Vedayo. That's the first opinion. Penimino Tenet Erubo Vedayo. Rabbi Yohanan Amar Afilu HaChitzon. So he says even the outer one. Now the Gemara is going to ask Chitzon Becharu. So the Gemara is thinking Chitzon means this one, the one that is closest to the Hatzed. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? How could this one be part of the Eruv? For sure this is a Bet Sha'ar, meaning this is just used as a trespassing to get into the Chatzir. So the more that you use a house as an area to trespass through to get to the Chatzir, it's not a dwelling. People cannot dwell in such a residence where people are walking through it in order to get into the Chatzir. So therefore the Gemara is thinking that the Chitzon means this one. So the Gemara means, Chitzon? How could that be? So the Gemara says, no, doesn't mean that. Chitzon shel penimi. Meaning it means that the second to the last house, that's the one that has to make the Eruv. It means all the other houses in front of it, meaning the 8 houses in front of it, they are exempt from the Eruv, but the second house and the house behind it as well, they're the 2 houses, according to Rabbi Yohanan, that have to make the Eruv. So comes the Gemara now and explains the Machloket. What is the Machloket of it between Shemuel and Rabbi Yohanan? Mor sabar bet sha'ar di yachid sheme bet sha'ar. Umor sabar lo sheme bet sha'ar. Again, this Bet Sha'ar is not a real dwelling. Bet Sha'ar is like the gate. We're going to learn in the coming up Mishnayot. It's a gate that's, let's say, in front of the Chatzer that's used to travel into it and walk into the Chatzer. So everybody agrees that Bet Sha'ar is not considered a resident. The question is, what constitutes a bet shahr? So, Tanakama, which means not Tanakama, Shemuel holds what? Bet shahr di yahid, sheme bet shahr, which means a bet shahr that serves even one house is considered a bet shahr and not a a dwelling. And therefore, this ninth house is only being walked through by one resident. Right? Because you have the ninth one, and then the tenth one is the one that's all the way behind. So take the ninth one. How many people are walking through that area? Just the tenth has to walk through. So Shemuel says, doesn't matter. Even if it's only being used by one resident, it's considered a bet shahr. Therefore, that house is going to be exempt from Eruv, because only Batim are Hayav to partake in the Eruv. Therefore, the only house that's going to be Hayav in the Eruv is what? The furthest one back. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, he says no. Umor Sabar, lo shebe bechar. And he's going to say no. That last, that house over there, in the last house over there, the second house is not considered a bet shahr, because in order to be considered bet shahr, it has to be at least trampled by or walked through by at least two houses. So therefore, that house number nine is still considered a bayit. It's not considered a bet shahr because it only has one house behind it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, house number nine as well must join in the eruv. The subsequent hatzerot in front of it, meaning the eight in front of it, that's for sure considered bet shahr because it's being trampled by at least two residents. So that is the machloket. What constitutes a bet shahr? I'm going to explain you the sevara. Once you have people walking through your house, it's not considered a bet din anymore. Because people can only access the chasid by walking through the houses that are in front of them. So therefore, it loses its status of residency. So again, Shemuel holds only in the last house. Because the house in front of it will be considered a bet shahr, even though it's only being trampled by one. That house number 10 walks through number 9. Whereas Rabbi Hanan says, no. The house number 9 is not considered bet shahr, because it's only being trampled by number 10. So the house number 9 is considered a residency itself, and therefore it's going to have to partake in the Eruv as well. That's the first case. Now we go to the next case. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba Abu, Amar Rav. Shtei Hatzerot. Okay, you have two courtyards. Ushlosha Batim Benehim. You have three houses in between them. Do we have a picture of that? Let's see. Yeah. Okay, that was picture number 244. Okay, so you got the picture here. Two chatzerot. Okay, and they are separated by three homes, which means the only way to get from one chatzer to the other chatzer, well, not the only way, but one of the ways is to walk through the homes. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba Abu, Amar Rav, Shtei Chatzerot, Ushlusha Batim Beneihem, and you have three homes. In between them, Ze Baderech Ze Venoten Erubo Baze, Veze Baderech Ze Venoten Erubo Baze, which means, the Chatzer on the right, they want to now join Chatzerote. So the guy on the right will come along and put his walk through the Bet Shahr, walk through house number one. House number one will have a status of Bet Shahr, and he will put his Eruv in the middle house. The guy on the left will also walk through house number one. That house number one will also be called a Bet Shahr. It's an access area, and he will put his Eruv in the middle as well. So the Gemara says, again, Ze ba derek v'noten erubo baze. He walks through the derek of the first house and puts the erub in the middle. Veze ba derek ze v'noten erubo baze. Ze nasa bet shahr laze. Veze nasa bet shahr laze. We'll call them houses 1, 2, and 3. House 1 and 3 become a bet shahr for house number 2 that is in the middle. So comes the Gemara and says, Emsa'i have a bayit shemanihim bo eruv. ve'en tzarich liten et apat. So therefore, you don't have to join house number 1 and 3, because Bet Shah do not have to join. House number 2 that the Eruv is being placed in, it also does not have to join in. Because the halakha is that the house that they put the Eruv in, that house itself is exempt from giving the Eruv, because he is actually housing the Eruv. The whole logic of putting the bread is Mishum Dira. So although most of the guy who's living there, although most of he has Dira. So therefore, in order to make this Eruv between the Hatzerot, they would only have to place it technically in the middle one, and everybody else, the 1 and 2 house, 1 and 3 are exempt, and 2 is also exempt. Now the Gemara discusses a question. Gemara's question is as follows. Badik lehu Rehava l'Rabbanan. Rehava was testing the rabbis. Rehava was a rabbi, he was asking a question to the rabbis. Bet Hatzerot. Same case, you have 2 Hatzerot. Ubet batim b'nehem. Well, but you only have now 2 houses. So this becomes a little tricky. Why? Ze ba derech ze venoten erubo bazeh, veze ba derech ze venatan erubo bazeh. Kanu eruv o lo. Is the eruv good or not? Which means like this. You have contradictory situations taking place over here. You have the hatzer number 1. They need to make an eruv, let's say, for themselves. Right? So they need to make an Eruv with the houses that are by them, and also these 2 houses. Now, can he go walk through house number 1 and put the Eruv in house number 2? So house number 1 for him is a Bet Shahar, and house number 2 is considered a Bet Dira. The other Hatzer will do the same. It walks through house number 1, so house number 1 on his side. Right, it's really number 2. That house now becomes a Bet Dira, and he puts it in a Bet Shahar, and the other house becomes a Bayit. So the question is, will such a Eruv work? Which means, can my Bet Shahar be his Dira, and his Dira be his Bet Shahar? Would you make up your mind? Well, you can't play a house 2 sides. So he was asking him, in such a case, will the Eruv be legitimate? In the case where you have 3 houses, no question. House number 1 and 3 are the Bet Shahars to each Hatzer. And then you're placing it in the middle. Everybody agrees that that is the Bet Dira. The question is, when you have 2 houses, can each one put it in the second house from the Hatzer and consider the first one a Bet Shahar? So the Gemara, it says, the Gemara speaks at this sefek. Gemara says, Mi mashvina nihu legabe dehai bayit. Do we consider it for, let's say, one hatzer, one house is going to be a bayit and one house is going to be a betshar, ulgabe dehai, and ulgabe the other hatzer betshar, ulgabe dehai bayit. Which means his house is his betshar is his bayit. Can that be done? Amru le shnehem lo kanu iruf. He answered him, no, it doesn't work. Why? Manafshach. If you tell me that it's a bet shahar, if a person puts, let's say, his eruv in a bet shahar, before we get to the other cases, halakha says it's not an eruv. You must put the eruv in a house, not in a bet shahar, meaning a passage away, a house that's used as a passageway. Now, the Gemara gives you other cases, aksadra, or you put your eruv in an aksadra, that would be, let's say, the the porch, let's say, type of porch. Marpeset also would be, let's say, a balcony. Eno eruv. So therefore, if you're going to treat it as bechar, not going to work. Ibayit mashvitle, and if you're going to compare the houses as batim, kamitaltel lebayit delo meharevle. Which means, if you consider both them houses now, halakha says you must place your eruv on Erev Shabbat in a place where on Shabbat you can access it. Now, if you're going to consider both houses batim, now the guy put the eruv in the second house, correct? Now the first house, you're considering it a bayit. That guy did not join in the eruv. So therefore, you cannot take your eruv from house number 2, let's say, through house number 1 into your hasir. So the man of shach, if you consider them both bet shahars, you didn't put an eruv in house. If you consider them both batim, you can't get yairuv on either side. So therefore, the Gemara wants to answer in such a case, it's like kante de satre. It's double contradictory over here. So therefore, there's no option. So comes the Gemara and says, Umay shena medirava. Why is this case any different than the case that Rava taught us? Why? What did Rava teach us? Rava taught us a case like Gabi Eruv Tehumin, where even though you're doing something contradictory, it works. How? The Amar Rava Amru Lo Shenayim. Let's say two people tell a Shaliach before Shabbat, Tse Ve'arev Alenu. Tells us, do me a favor. Two guys want to establish their tchum from before Shabbat. How do you establish your tchum? You go, you put your food in a certain spot, and now you have 2,000 amah from that spot. So they, two guys go to one guy, listen, we want you to establish our eruv for us before Shabbat. So what did the guy do? One guy, he made it. He got there Friday afternoon when the eruv has to be established, and he put it there. Velo Irev Alav Ben Hashemashot. Velechad, I'm sorry. Irev Alav Ben Hashemashot. And the second guy, he didn't get there. He didn't place the Eruv until Ben Hashemashot, till twilight. Now, this Irev Alav Be'od Yom Ne'echal Eruvo Ben Hashemashot. The guy who his Eruv was established Me'irev Shabbat was eaten by a dog Ben Hashemashot. Now, the halacha says that for an Eruv to work, it's got to be in Eruv into Shabbat, at least for even 1 second. Problem over here, it got eaten during twilight. Now, Vizish Shairev Alav Ben Hashemashot, and the Eruv that was placed Ben Hashemashot, Ne'echal Erubo Meshitachshach. That Eruv got eaten by a dog after it got dark. What's the deen? Shneem Kanu Eruv. The Eruv is good for both of them. How do we square it up? How can that be good for both of them? For the guy that placed him in Be'ojom, and he got eaten Ben Hashemashot, I'll consider Ben Hashemashot Laila. So Ben Hashemashot is Laila. He had his Eruv during Shabbat. I don't care if he got eaten afterwards. For the second guy, that he placed it Ben Hashemashot, I'll say that he placed it in Ben Hashemashot, which is Yom. So the Eruv was placed in the right time, and then it got eaten at night. So therefore, what do you see? The Gabe Eruv, which is Drabbanan, we're going Likuda, even where it's Tarte Nesatre. Which means, if it's Ben Hashemashot is Yom, it's not Laila. If it's Laila, it's not Yom. So therefore, just like over here, you're playing it both ways. So say the same thing by the homes. Consider for this guy a Bechar, and this guy a Ba'in, and for this guy the opposite. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta? Are these cases comparable to each other? Because you compare the cases. Hatam safek yimama safek lilya lo min kira milta. By the case of Ben Hashemashot, first of all, it is a legitimate safek. We don't know what it is. It's safek yom, safek lila. That's for sure. And therefore, it's not evident that we're pulling the rope, so to speak, on both sides. It means to the observer, it's not explicitly clear that this guy's Eruv is good, this guy's Eruv is good. The Eruv may not next to each other, so to speak. So therefore, in principle, we're really saying you could play at both sides. Because when you have a Sefik, that's what a Sefik is. We're just concerned about the perception. We don't want people to mock the religion, specifically the Tzedukim. We don't want them to say, ah, look at a crazy law over here. They go over, this day is a Yom, this is Laila. When it comes to this, it's legitimate Sefik. It's not evident that you're playing both sides. This guy's Eruv works, that guy Eruv works. However, aval acha id legabe dehai bayit legabe dehai bayit id legabe dehai bet sha'ar legabe dehai namim bet sha'ar. But here in the case of the homes, they're in front of you over here. So therefore you see a click case in front of you, even though in truth we should be able to say the same suffix. When this guy's considered a house, when this guy's considered a bit shot, we should be able to play each one subjectively. However, since it's too evident, it looks like a chokhout, that looks like a joke to who? To the tzeduki. Look at the last dashi. Lo min kira milta. That's the case of Ben Hashemashot. It is not evident. Ve lo avu mili drabanan ki chokhout itlula. So the words of the rabbis do not look like a laughing stock or a mockery. But the house is there in front of us. So the tzedukis sitting there, the same house that you're calling a bayit, you're calling a bechad. Come on, how could you do both? The imas viren hacha, hachi v'hacha hachi, havyan midi d'ramaki, okavet ulav v'lo nitan peh l'tzedukim l'rdod. And now you're giving we don't want to give the tzedukim a mouth. We don't want to give them fuel exactly to knock us. So therefore, the Gemara says, indeed, when you only have two houses, you cannot put the Iruv in the second home. Now, of course, if they would put the Iruv in the first home, no problem. This would be, each one is considered a bayit, which is the only problem is because they were putting it in the second home. So therefore, the first one became a bechar, and respectfully for the other chatzit as well. So that became the safir. Kadran, alach, adar. Okay, so we will return to you, Bezat Hashem, perek adar. Now we go to the next perek. In our Masechet, the seventh perek, perek Halon. Our Mishnah says, Halon Sheben Bet Hatzerot. Okay, we learned earlier that for two Hatzerot that are open to each other, in order to make an Iruv Hatzerot, for both Hatzerot to be considered one, they have to be accessible to each other. So the Gemara tells us Chadush over here. They don't have to be opened totally to each other. Even if there's a window that connects both Hatzerot together, that's considered enough. Now we have a picture in our art scrolls. You see here you have two Hatzerot. You have a wall with a hole, a window in the middle over there. So that window between the two Hatzerot is able to join the Hatzerot together, and therefore they can be one. So the Mishnah says, Halon Sheben Bet Hatzerot, Dalet al Dalet. Oh, now we're giving you Shi'ur. The window has to be at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. That's considered a significant Shi'ur. Betoch Asara. And it also has to be within 10 tefachim of the wall. And that's the second condition. The ground. Which is on the wall, from the ground, it has to be within 10. So comes the Mishnah and says, you have two options here. Me'arvim shnayim, bimratzu, me'arvim echad. They can either go solo, meaning me'arvim shnayim, each one could make a eruv on themselves, or if they want, they can me'arev as one. Right across the window. Which means, don't think the window obligates them to be together. No, they still have an option to each chatzir to go alone, meaning just with its members, and they carry it. The hadush is the window allows them, if they want to, join. Now, pachot midalet al dalet, if let's say the window is less than 4x4, or lemala me'asara, higher than 10 from the ground, it's really not such an accessible window. Then your only option is to make separate irubin for each individual chatzir, but they cannot join together. That is the din of the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara. Actually, let's read the some of the she's in the Mishnah. Halon sheben shtei chatzerot mitoch asara. The first Gemara she eksat temenu v'filu mashu betoch asara lekarka. So the first hadush that she tips us off what the Gemara is going to say. Gemara is going to say that the whole window does not have to be within 10. Even if part of the window, I mean the bottom of the window, is within 10 to 5 of the ground, that's also good enough. And we'll see that in the Gemara. Next Rashi, me'arvim shnayim, shnei erubim, elu lehatzman, velu lehatzman, v'asurim zeh im zeh. Of course, if each one makes their separate eruv, they can carry in their respective chatzerot, but they cannot carry to each other. V'im ratzu me'arvim echad, eruv echad shitu, elu eruban be'acheret, v'yarvu emahem v'yu ke'echad. Which means, one of the chatzerot collects their eruv, and the other collects their eruv, and then one brings the representative brings their eruv to the other chatzir, and they store it there, and therefore that makes them one. Pachot me'arba, lav petach ave. It's not considered a significant opening. Lemala ma'asera nameh. Why? Because look at the sort of logic. If it's above 10, the deen is if you have a wall of 10 tefachim in a chatzir, that's separating between the two chatzerot, so that's already considered a legitimate partition to separate them. So therefore, if your window is above 10 tefachim, already you have a wall of 10 without any hole already. So therefore, it's a sun medin, the din of a wall of 10 tefachim that has the ability to separate. So that's what Rashi says. He says, the ilu kol hakot l'ino gavo yoter, if let's say the whole wall was not bigger, havi me'aitza me'aliyata, it's considered already a legitimate wall. Ilkach, kishen klum menachar b'tok asara lav petachu ve'en ma'arim nechad v'asurot zu imzu derech rosh hakotel v'derech oto halom v'derech olim uzdakim, which means, don't think we'll allow you to make an eruv by putting things over. Because technically, Aseret Tefachim is not such a big wall. You can still technically just hand things over. No, no. It has to be a window or an actual door. We do not allow you to ma'arif over the wall. Or let's say you have little cracks in the side of the wall. That's also good. You need an actual halon that has a significant shiur. And what is that shiur? Fortifachim by... Fortifachim comes to Gemara. Let us say that the author of the Mishnah is Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Damar called pachot marbara kelavud dame. Remember, we learned early in the Masechet Machloket in what is the shiur of lavud. What is lavud? Lavud means that when you have, let's say, a certain shiur, according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, up to four tefachim be able to say lavud, meaning it's considered as if it is closed. Hakamim say no, lavud is up to three tefachim. So from the fact that you see in our Mishnah, they're giving you the shoot of four, must be going like Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Because he's saying what? Four is considered open, we're not going to consider it shut. As opposed to the Banan would say that three already, we consider it closed. So the Gemara wants to say, let us say that the author of Mishnah says you have up to four tefachim, right? He must say, what? De'amar, called pachot midalit, anything that is less than four tefachim, kelavu damez, goes on, afilu tema kerabanan. You can even say the Mishnah is going like the rabbis. Ah, can no putting kerabanan, the rabbat shul gamliel, elalanyan lebudim. Yeah, that argument was that yan lavud is three tefachim already considered lavud, meaning it's connected, or it's considered closed, or is four tefachim. However, avale yan petiha, but regarding a significant opening, afilu rabbanan modudi ikadal adal hashiv below lo hashiv. Here the anyan is not a lavud issue. This shows it was considered a significant opening from one chatzir to the other chatzir. So therefore, it's not the anyan of the three is considered a lavud and the four is that's not lavud over here. The issue is even the rabbis will tell you that to open for an opening, you're going to need a significant shi'ud. And what's that significant shi'ud that you're going to need? It's going to have to be at least 4x4. No, because you might the shi'ud of 4, once you hear 4, it's already, oh, that's the shi'ud of lavud. So therefore, no, it's got nothing to do with lavud over here. It's not a lavud issue. The issue of it is what's considered a significant petah. Okay, we continue. Comes the Gemara and says, okay, pachot ma'arba'ah. Now what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, less than arba'ah, an arba'ah, or if it is above 10 tefachim. Now that is redundant, because the beginning of the Mishnah told me it has to be within 10. So it's obvious, it has to be within 10. Above 10 is not going to be good. So why does the Mishnah have to tell me both sides? So the Gemara right away says, Peshita, Kevan de Amar Dalet al Dalet betuch asara, Mimela ana yadana, de pachot midal ulmala ma'asara, lo. So comes the Gemara and answers, Hakamash ma'alan, ta'ama dechule lemala ma'asara. So yeah, you know what the hadush is? The only time it's going to be no good is when the whole window is above 10. Avam nikseto betuch asara me'arvim shnayim v'imratzu me'arvim echad. The hadush, by saying it over again, it's saying like this: only when the entire window is above asara. You know what that extra statement teaches me? Entire window. But if niksat of the window is betok asara, you can even me'ariv as one. Jeez, if you only had the first statement, I would have said it's somewhere where the whole window is betoch asara. Kamash on the second statement that if the whole window is above asara, it's no good. Implying what? The part of the window that's below asara is good. So therefore, from the redundancy, we actually learn a big hadith that even if part of the window is within asara, you can meharev as one. Comes the Gemara proves this. Tanina le'adetanun rabbanan. Kula lemala ma'asara. Let's say you have the majority. When it says kula, it means majority. The majority of the window is above 10. Umiksato betok asara. And part of it is within 10. Kulo betok asara. Well, let's say the majority of the window is within 10. Umiksato lemala ma'asara. And part of it is above asara. Me'arvim shtayim v'imnatsum arvim ehad. It is permissible to either make separate Erubin, or you can even make one, because they consider united because of the window. So the Gemara is the obvious question. If the first case was, where you just have a little of the window within 10, you told me you can make one Erub, Me'arvim shtayim v'imnatsum arvim ehad. Kulo betok asara, umiksato lemala, miyud mebaya. You have to tell me the second case, where the majority is within 10, and a little is above 10. That's obvious. If you tell me even a little was within 10, and the majority is not out of 10, it's good, because you get the other case. So give us, you're right. Zuv in tzarich lomar zu ketani. The Mishnah, the Braita is using a style called zuv in tzarich lomar zu, which means it gave you the bigger hidush first, and then went back and told me the obvious. There's a style like that called zu. This case, the answer is Klamazu. And the same case is obvious. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Ibn Hanan. Oh, now we discuss a technical, detailed question. Till now we're talking about 4x4 square window. What do you do if the window is round? Right, so now we have to start going into the mathematics again of how to calculate a square in relationship to a circle. So comes the Gemara and says,
easy to move.
Right, I'm out of your it's easy to make a window of a square. I'm out of your Hanan. Halon agul, tzarik shiye bekefor asim barba'at tefahim. So the Gemara gives the first rule. The perimeter, we'll call it the circumference when it comes to a square. The circumference of the square, I'm sorry, of the circle, in order to be a legitimate petach, has to be 24 tefachim. You measure the whole circumference, 24 tefachim, and one more condition. Ushnayim umashu mehen bitoch asara. Of that circumference, two and change, two tefachim and change, must dip within asara of the ground. Okay, if you see your picture books, that would be number 245. Yes, within asara of the ground. So you have your circle, two tefahim of circumference dip within the 10 zone, and the entire circumference is 24. What's the logic? So that Shita Gemara says, Shi'im yirabbe'enu nimsa mashu betoch asara. Because you have to square. Now, you have to make a square out of this over here. Now, by making a square, the square doesn't have that, the arc, right? So the square, you lose, let's say, two on the bottom, right? Because it's just a straight line, it's not arcing. However, since it's two in a mashu, so therefore that mashu will take the square within 10. So as long as you have a mashu within 10 of the ground, it's considered a petah, and therefore they could be united as one. Now the Gemara is going to challenge the mathematics. How could you tell me a circumference of 24, which is, the assumption is, what do you need 24? Because in 24 of a circle, you will have a diameter of 4 tefahim. Which is, we need really a diameter of 4 tefahim across. So to make it a shirud. So therefore, the Gemara is assuming you need 24 to get to 4 across. So comes the Gemara and says, Mechdi, let's analyze. Because yes behekefo shiloshat tefahim, yes bo beruchbo tefah. The rule is like this. The rule is, for every 3 tefahim in circumference, it gives you 1 tefah in, or 1 measure in, diameter. So therefore, technically, if you're going to have 24, it'll give you a diameter of 8. So therefore, what do you need? What do you need 8 for? I mean, technically, the shi'ud that you need over here should be, we need 4. So therefore, 12 should be more than enough to give you a shiur of force. Where did they get a circumference of 24? So let's read that inside. Mechti, let's analyze. Mm-hmm. For every three tefahim in hekef, yes bo berochbo tefah. Right? It gives you a tefah in width. Therefore, 12 tefachim should be sufficient. Yeah. So the Gemara says, that's talking about if we just wanted to keep it as a circle. But again, you have to remember, we always have to inscribe a square over here. So the square needs a little bigger perimeter, because the square, you have to remember, is four across the whole square, where a circle is only four in its widest part. But beneath it, it's less, and above it is less, because it narrows out because of the arc of the circle. So therefore, we're discussing over here a circle, but we have to have a inscription of a square. So therefore, you need more than 12. So the question is, how much more? So Gabbana gives us the math. Mechti, kama mirubah yeter al haigul, which we did this in the previous Gemara, how much is the square more than the circle? Rabia,
a quarter.
So therefore, bishitzar sagya, which means if a shi'ud of a circle is 12, so therefore, to make 4 by 4 by a square would be a parameter of 16. So therefore, still, where did you get 24? Which means still the shiur of a circle of 24 is too much. See, if you told me the circle is 16, it's very good. But then everybody can fit the square. Where did you get 24? So the Gemara says, Hani mile egula denafik migor ribua. When do we say the shiur of a quarter? That's when the circle is inscribed in the square. Picture is obvious. Make a square. Okay. Inside the square, you put a circle. So then already, obviously, the square has those the corners on the side. So that'll put it, 3 to 4. You'll have a little extra on the square. However, a square
inside of a circle
that is inscribed in a circle, meaning putting the circle on the outside. Now, the circle now has to have a bigger circumference because it has to cover the corners. Understand? But it's going around, it's got to cover the corners of the square. So you need more. And that's what we're doing over here. Over here, we have the circle, right, which is the window, okay, and we're putting a square in it, right? We want to square the window, so therefore the circle has to go around a square. So therefore you need more than
16. No?
You need more than 16. Yeah. So the question is, okay, but why do you need 24? Which is what is the shiur then? Does it go to 24? No, it doesn't. My tama. First of all, why is it going to be more than a quarter? Mishum murshad de kaneta, because the protrusions of the corners. Of course, which means when you make the circle, it has to go around now the points on the side, and they protrude. So therefore, you're going to need a circumference to give out. This point is assuming of 24, meaning to go around a square that has 4 by 4. You're going to have a circle that is circumference 24. So the Gemara says, Mechti, let's analyze that. Kol amta, every amma of a square, biribua, meaning one amma by one amma, in a square, amta v'trechum sheba alakhsona, is 1 2/5 in alakhson, in its diagonal. Okay? Now, let's analyze in a square that's 4 by 4. In a square that's 4 by 4, so draw the diagonal. It'll be 5 3/5. You understand how we got that? For every one, it's 1 2/5. So you have 4
times.
So it's 4 times 1 2/5. So that brings the diagonal to 5 3/5. Meaning, when you have your square, draw a circle around it. Go from the bottom point of the square, which is actually a point of the circle as well, and draw a diagonal across, that will be 5 3/5, which gives you the diameter now of your circle is 5 3/5. Now we just learned that what's the ratio between diameter and circumference? So we said it's approximately 3 times. For every 3 in circumference, you get 1 in diameter. So if you have 5 3/5, multiply that by 3, it'll give you a circumference of a circle of 16 4/5. So therefore the Gemara says, you're right, even to put a circle around the square, the most it has to be in circumference is 16 4/5. So Gemara says, "Bishibsar nechi humshasagya." With 17 1/5 should be enough. So Gemara says, "Where did you get the shiur of 24 tefahim?" So the Gemara says, "You're right. Really, technically, it should only be 16 4/5." Who's going with 24? We're going to get Rabbi Yohanan's opinion. What did Rabbi Yohanan say? Rabbi Yohanan amar ki dayane de kisri. Rabbi Yohanan was following the judges of Caesarea that had their own way of calculating. Ve'amrilan, some say kerabanan de kisri, and some say no, he was actually following the rabbis of Caesarea. That what? The amru that they said igula migo ribua, which means if you have a circle that's inscribed in a square, that's not the case we want. That's a circle inside. Riba, they agree. It's a quarter more. Like we said. But here's the hadush. Riba migor egula. When you have a square that's inside the circle, when the circle is going on the outside, palga. So then it's a half more. Meaning if your square is 16, so therefore half of 16 is 8, so you have to add 8, meaning 1 1/2. You'd have to add another half to the shoot of the circle, so your circle will come to 24. Now, all the Rishonim, specifically Tosafot, by the way, point out, that's not so. I mean, mathematically, it's not, but we gave you the math. The math is 16 4/5. So what is Rabbi Yohanan following the Dayanim of Caesarea, and you're giving me something that's not mathematically correct, accurate? They hold, you're putting it to 24. You hold to 24. That's
not opinion.
It's not an opinion over here. The math is the math. So you have to say, just in order to keep Rabbi Yohanan, that they knew what he was saying, meaning he understood that the math was 16 4/5, but in order that they should not come to make a smaller window, because smaller is a problem, because if it's too small, you're not allowed to make an eruv between them. So therefore he came along and he went with a mathematical equation of these rabbis in Caesarea, which was maybe not accurate for this equation, but at least it's going to give you a window that for sure has a circumference that's necessary. See, we could have told you 16 4/5, but you know what, we added 7 1/5 more. Why? Just so it'll be Bereva, so no one can make a mistake. That's how some of the mefashim want to explain. This is like an insurance. Just they added a couple of extra tefachim to the circumference to make it purpose. That's what we said, 24. Now, why don't they add 10 more or 20 more? Because there was an opinion that said 1 1/2. So therefore, hey, you take that opinion then, Yan. This case over here comes again and says, "Pachot midalad al dalad." Okay. Amar of Nachman. Continue the Gemara. Lo shanu ela halon shebin bet hatzerot. Now, our Mishnah is discussing what a halon, a window between two courtyards. Right? Two hatzerot. Aval, halon shebin bet batim. But let's say you have a window that is between two homes. Afilu lemala ma'asara nameh. Even if it is above 10 tefachim. Im ratzu le'arev me'arvin ehad. You have two homes, let's say. They want to make an eruv amongst the two homes. They didn't join in the chatzer. They want to carry from one house to the other house. The only way they are connected is through a window. But the window in the house is above 10 tefachim. So there is access from one house to the other. Gemara says, good, when it comes to houses, even if the window is above 10 tefachim, it unites them as one. So comes the Gemara and says, my tama, beta keman demali dami. A house is considered as if it is filled, which means from the ground we consider it as if it's raised. So therefore, if the floor is raised, so therefore this technically is considered within tetefahim. By a chatzer, we don't consider it keman demali. But a house where you put stuff in, you fill it up with goods, so therefore we consider it raised, and therefore even if it's above 10, it is considered a legitimate window. So comes again what it says. Etibe, Rabba, Rav Nachman. Ehad li halon sheben bet hatzerot. Let's say you have a window between two hatzerot. Ehad li halon sheben bet batim. Or you have, let's say, a window between two homes. Ehad li halon sheben bet aliyot. Or you have a window between two attics. Ehad li halon sheben bet gagim. Or between two roofs. Or between two rooms. Now let's see all the cases. They did you a picture for that in number 246. Alright, you see on, let's go from the top to the bottom of the picture. 246, you see the roofs are connected by a window.
Right.
Aliyot, that's the second floor. You see they're connected by a window. Bayit Aliyah, that's you have a hole in the ceiling that separates the first floor or connects the first floor to the second floor. Ben bet batim. Those are two rooms in the house. You see it goes across. And ben chatzerot is the obvious case. So bottom line, the Gemara is telling you, regarding all these windows, whether it's the homes, the roofs, the attics, etc., what's the law? So the Gemara gives you a law. What is it? Kulan Dalit al dalit betuch asara. They all have to follow the conditions of 4x4 within 10. Oh, that's a question of what we just said. We just said when it comes to houses, it can be even above 10. Who made that statement, by the way? That was Rav Nachman.
Right.
So how could Rav Nachman go against a braita? So the Gemara answers, Targema ahatzerot. Yeah, that last part of the braita that said it has to be 4x4 within 10, that's on one case. That's on the Hatzerot case. But on the Bayit case, it's going to be even above. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? The Gemara says, Veha Ehad li Ketani. What are you talking? Ehad means there's one unified law. If you look at the Lashon of the braita, there is one law regarding Hatzerot, Betim, Gagot, which means the Smasra, they all have the same law. How could you come now and tell me that this law is different? It's only referring to Hatzerot. I want to use the word Echad, implying that it's one uniform law. Kevara says, Targema Adalid al Dalid. Yeah, it's uniform in the sense that they all need 4x4. But in the law of Asara, they are different. A house can even get away with above 10. Good? Comes Gemara and says, Ba'amine Rabbam Rav Nachman. Lul. Hapatuach min bayit la'aliyah. Okay, you have a first floor and a second floor. Lul would be, let's say, a hole in the floor, which connects the bottom floor, the bottom residence, with the top residence. So the question is, they want to know, sarich sulam kavua lahatiro, or in sarich sulam kavua lahatiro? Do you have to put a ladder there? Because the only way to really access that is with a ladder. Right. So do you have to keep a ladder there in order to make an eruv or not? Well, what's the question? Didn't we just say, betakeman demal yadami? If you say betakeman demal yadami, so what's the difference? You consider the whole house filled up. So what's even the she'elah? So the Gemara says, Ki amrinan betakeman demal yadami. When do you say, betakeman demal yadami, that's considered filled? Hani midi minatzad. That's on the sides. You don't usually, the logic is on the sides of the house where the windows are, you put stuff. So therefore on the sides you consider keman demal yadami. Therefore if you have a window on the side of the house, then I'll say it's considered okay even if it's above 10. Aval be'em sa'lo. But in the middle, it's not normal to put the stuff in the middle of the house, so therefore I might have to put an actual ladder there. Or maybe I'll say, no, there's no difference between the side. And maybe people put the stuff in the middle of the house also, and therefore we consider, and therefore even if there's no ladder there, it would be okay. Gemara says, Amar le eno tzarich. He told him, you don't need. So the Gemara says, Sabur mine sulam kavua hu deno tzarich. Ha sulam arai tzarich. He told him, you don't have to put a permanent ladder there, but you have to put at least a ladder there from time to time. You have to have some access to it, at least temporarily. Itmar amar of Yosef bar min Yomi amar of Nachman, ehad sulam kavua. The hot sulam harai. You guys have been anything, not a permanent ladder, not a temporary ladder. Why? Because you also say beto keman demalia, also in the middle of the house as well to the ceiling. Next Mishnah. Kotel sheben bet hatzerot. Okay, you have a wall between two hatzerot. Gaboa hasara. 10 tefachim high. Verochav arba'a. So what is the law, gentlemen, when you have a wall that's 10 tefachim between the two hatzerot? It separates them, and therefore me'arvim shnayim. Your only option is take. You can each individually make their eruv ve'en me'arvin ehad. Now hayu berosho perot. Let's say you have fruit on top of the wall. Elu olim mikan ve'ochlin, ve'elu olim mikan ve'ochlin. Everybody would be allowed to climb up to the wall and eat the fruit on the wall. However, they could not bring it down. Ulevad shlo yiridan demata. So when you have a wall that's 10 by 4, so it's considered its own, let's say, reshut. So technically each guy in the chatzer can climb up the wall, eat, and go down. But he cannot take from the wall into his chatzer, and the other guy cannot take from the wall into his chatzer. The Gemara, that she actually explains. Let's read the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Kotel sheben shtei chatzerot. Haydin akat nachav arba'a. The reason why I chose you a case where the wall is 4 tefachim thick, mishum sefan akatle. It goes to the end, we're going to talk about the thickness. Because we want to talk about a case where there's perot. You can only have perot on it, there's a significant shiur. Because the kotel itself is considered its own reshut. It's not considered batel to either chatzir, it's its own domain. So each one could benefit from that domain. Which means, regarding a mechitza, even if it's one tefach thick, it's a mechitza to separate. The hadush is, if it's four, that already is considered a separate domain that you could use the fruit that are on it on top. But you would not be allowed to bring it down. But to consider a separation, even a kolshu, so long as it's 10 high, separates the hatzerot. Mishnah concludes. Nifretza kotel. Let's say now you had a wall and it was breached. Ad before Shabbat. Ad ayetzer amot me'arvim shnayim v'im natsu me'arvim echad v'pnei shukuf kepetach. Up to 10 amot of breach is still considered like a door, and therefore if you want to go separate, you can go separate. If you want to go as one, you can go as one. Yoter mikan me'arvim echad v'im me'arvim shnayim. More than 10 amma already is not considered a petach anymore. More than 10 amma is considered now, you're one. You're one hatzir. So therefore you would not be allowed to make a separate erubin. Why? Because imagine if you have one hatzir, and five members of the hatzir, you have 10 guys in the hatzir. Five make their own eruv, five make their own eruv. It's not good. Because you have to join everybody together. So the hadush at the end of the Mishnah is, a breach up to 10 amot, you can still consider it a separation, meaning it's a door that separates the two chatzerot. Once already you have a wide opening, more than 10 amot, you're not separate anymore. Now it's considered a total breach, and therefore you consider it one. So the only option is me'arvin echad, velo me'arvin shnayim. Amen v'amen.